Well, good morning to each one of you. I wasn't sure if I should stand up and say good morning, boys and girls, or not, but it definitely is a lot quieter. There's a lot of praising going on the last 2 weeks, but this is worship. And I don't know what, it's a lot easier to stand up front of here with 300 little children than it is 100 big people. I'm not sure what the difference is. Maybe it's because I'm more at their level or something. I don't know. But no, thank you for each one coming this morning. And thank you, Jerry, for that devotional. Actually, I was actually started with that verse. I was going to build my sermon around that, but somewhere in the process it changed. So I totally skipped that whole verse. But yeah, thank you. And happy Father's Day to each one of you. Especially to you young fathers, that's what I kind of, well, I want to talk to all fathers, but yeah, you young fathers, I would consider myself a young father yet, but yeah, it might look overwhelming at times, and the task might look big, but I want to look at two men in the Bible that sometimes us as fathers, we think we have to live a perfect life. We can't make mistakes. But is that what a godly man looks like? Is he always perfect? Or does he never make mistakes? Does he always do the right things? Or does he never give in to them temptations that we should not give in to? Or does he treat his wife always like he should? Or even his children? But the two men I want to look at, they both had maybe not the same upbringings, but they both had the same opportunities. They both were taught by the same person. They both had the same foundation. And they both kind of messed up the same way, but their lives totally ended two different ways. I guess that's what I want to bring out to us as fathers, and not only to fathers, everybody. Like, what do we do with our mistakes? Do we repent from them? Do we improve? Or do we just give up? The first person I want to look at is Peter, and who was Peter? So let's turn to Luke chapter 5. Beginning at verse 1. And here's the first time where we see Peter coming into the picture. Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was all James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. So here you can see is when Jesus called Peter to follow him. So he was just a fisherman, a regular guy. And Luke 4:13 says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." So Peter was nobody special. He was just a common man from a fishing village. He wasn't learned. He wasn't somebody that, people would just look up to. He was just a common man like each one of us. And from that day forth, Peter followed Jesus for approximately somewhere around 3 years. He saw Jesus. He listened to Jesus. He learned from Jesus. He knew Jesus to a certain extent. He didn't fully comprehend who Jesus was or what he was, but he patterned his life after Jesus. And then let's go to Matthew 16. And this is what Jesus thought of Peter. Matthew 16, starting at verse 13. "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' And he saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Peter was the first one to speak up. And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" So he knew or understood to a certain extent who this Jesus was. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.' Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." So here Jesus is saying, "Peter, you are something I can build upon. You are a rock. You are something strong, solid. This is a godly man. This is a man that can be trusted, that can be followed." And God had faith in Peter for that. Peter was one of Jesus' closest disciples. In Mark 5:37, he was one of the disciples, one of the three disciples that went with Jesus into the room to raise up Jairus' dead daughter. He was also one of the three disciples that went up on the mountaintop with Jesus when he was transfigured. And him and John were the chosen disciples when Jesus asked them to go prepare the Passover for the Last Supper. And Peter also was ready to die for Jesus. John 13:37 says, "Peter said unto him, 'Lord, why cannot I follow thee? I will lay down my life for thee.'" So he was willing to die for Jesus. And he was willing to defend Jesus. John 18:10 says, "And Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servants and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus." So here, Peter was one of Jesus' closest disciples. He loved the Lord. He knew what Jesus taught over the last how many years. And you would think Peter would not mess up, would you not? But let's turn to Luke 22. Luke 22, starting at verse 54, we can see where Peter was still human. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And this is what I want you guys to remember. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And this wasn't wept. This wasn't just a soft crying. The Greek original is like, it was loud weeping and wailing. So he was truly sorry for what he did. He was a man of God, but he failed God in this moment. And then later on, you can see after the resurrection where Jesus again reconfirmed Peter. In Mark 16, verse 7, where the women went to the tomb, the angel specifically told the women to make sure that Peter knew that he was risen. Then later on in John chapter 21, when Peter and the disciples were out fishing and Jesus was walking on the seashore, and they came up and Jesus again reconfirmed to Peter that he forgave him and still loved him, and told him to feed his sheep. Now, that's one thing you can do when you mess up. You can have that repentance like Peter. The other person I want to look at is Judas Iscariot. And our Sunday school class kind of shot holes in my thinking this morning, but it's an interesting concept with Jesus hardening Pharaoh's heart, like Nate said this morning. And as we can see, Satan entered into Judas's heart later on in the story. But here, I never quite thought of Judas like this. But the word Judas actually means praise God. And Iscariot is actually his last name, which references his town where he came from. He's actually from Judah. So Judas Iscariot was the only outsider of the 12 disciples. All the others were from the local Galilean area. Let's go to Matthew 10. This is where we first see or hear of Judas. And there is not a lot on him. But in Matthew 10, starting there at verse 2, now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So there you see that he shows up, and it's also in Mark. But Judas had just as much power as all the other disciples. Let's go up there to verse 1 there in chapter 10. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. So Judas looked, acted just like all the other disciples. He had the same teacher as all the other disciples. He's seen what every other disciple's seen. Most of the time, anyways. And then down there to verse 5 in that chapter 10, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." So, on the outside looking in, Judas appeared just like Peter. He was a common man. He was a follower of God. He was a godly man up to this point, it appears like. Also, he must have been trustworthy. He was a treasurer. He held the money bag. And John 13:29 says, "For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, 'Buy those things that we have need of against the feast,' or that he should give something to the poor." So obviously, people didn't have reservations against him. You would have thought that Matthew should have been the treasurer. He was a tax collector. He was used to working with money. So nothing stood out in his character, it appears, that he was not a godly man. Although, as mentioned in our Sunday school lesson, which in John 12 it says that he did, he was stealing money from the bag, but it appears like none of the other disciples knew about it. And it's obviously he wasn't a suspicious, well, let's go to Matthew 26. At the Last Supper, where Jesus was saying who will betray him, none of the disciples were like, "Oh yeah, it's Judas, it's not going to be me." So, I don't know, the whole discussion of, yeah, did Jesus, or Satan enter his heart right then or what, but it appears that Judas was a godly man. Matthew 26:14-16. "Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went into the chief priests." Well, this is where, yeah, he had went to the chief priest before this. "And said unto them, 'What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you.' And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver." And then go to verse 20. "And when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, 'Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me.' And they were exceeding sorrowful," meaning the disciples, "and began every one of them to say unto him, 'Lord, is it I?' And he answered and said, 'He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born.' Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, 'Master, is it I?' He saith unto him, 'Thou hast said.'" So here, yeah, we can see that when in some of the other Gospels it says, it doesn't say it here, but where Satan entered in his heart and then Judas had left. But after all this, we can still see that there was forgiveness for Judas. In Matthew 26, and start there at verse 47, "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, 'Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast.' And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, 'Hail, Master,' and he kissed him." In one of the other Gospels it says, when he came up to him, he said, "Master, Master," or "Rabbi, Rabbi." And look what Jesus said to him. "And Jesus said unto him, 'Friend, where art thou? Wherefore art thou come?' And they came. Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. So here you can see Jesus still called him a friend. Jesus still would have gave him forgiveness and repentance if he would have just asked for it. But then comes the last, the regret. Matthew 27, 1 through 5. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. So here you can see the difference of the two. Peter truly repented for what he did wrong, for where he sinned. Judas did not. Both messed up. Both felt sorry. Both felt remorse. But only one had true repentance. Both were called by Jesus. Both lived with Jesus. Both followed Jesus. Both denied and betrayed Jesus. They both messed up. But is that what defined their life? The one it did, the other one it didn't. The difference was Judas just regretted, but Peter repented. And that's what I want to leave for each one of us. We're all human. We will all mess up at time to time. We'll all sin from time to time. But what are we going to do with that? Are we going to repent and confess Jesus and then live in his grace and mercy towards us? Or are we just going to be sorry about it and wish that we wouldn't have had done it and just move on? So that's what I want to leave with you. Let's have that true repentance and truly follow God and then live in his grace and mercy that he extends to each one of us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for each one here this morning. I just pray that you just bless each one of us. And Lord, I just pray that when we do fall from you, when we do sin against you, Lord, I just pray that we just come to you in true repentance and forgiveness, and that we just ask you to cleanse our ways, and that we just live victory over you and just live in your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.